When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, and welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I love to ask guests to provide a life-improving tip. I really enjoyed compiling these. I think that the tip I hear about most often that people have implemented in their own lives is from my very first episode. My guest was my fantastic friend, Buck Sexton, and he said to read before bed. Now, obviously, that's not rocket science, right? You read before bed, you feel better, you don't stare at your phone. We all know that staring at our devices right before trying to get restful sleep is a recipe for tossing and turning all night. But sometimes we just need to hear people give us that obvious advice. Buck's advice is something that I've implemented myself. I try to read fiction specifically before bed. And I mean, look, I'm not perfect. Do I find myself scrolling on Instagram reels before bed some nights of the week? Of course I do. But the nights that I don't, the nights that I follow the advice to unplug before bed are my best nights of sleep. And it's helpful. So the advice doesn't have to be astonishing or startling or really, you know, unique. It can just be something that you need to hear. I asked my listeners and followers on Twitter to submit their own tips for living a better life. I'm trying to keep them kind of small and easy, like the reading before bed one, and not big pieces of advice that we all need but would be harder to implement. These are my three favorites from this week, but keep them coming. Email carolmarkowitzshow@gmail.com or tweet me at Carol on X, new Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I'll read some responses on the show and future episodes, so tune in. The number one thing that came up again and again is to get off your phone. I've talked about this one here. I understand it's a challenge, but we all know how much better off we would be if we used our phones less. I've talked about how I take breaks for vacation, but I'm going to make a serious attempt to just be on my phone less. I get that it's really tough. And even right now, I'm thinking about all the things that I need to get done on the internet, you know, which would require me using my laptop or my phone. But it's necessary to cut back, and I know it. And I'm going to stop using it for like entertainment when I wait on a line or I'm doing something that I don't want to be doing. Number two is similar, but a little different. Somebody wrote, remember that social media is not real life. Go out and see the world, talk to people, live life in person. I talk about this a lot on here. I think it gets very easy to live your life online, especially if you work from home. Challenge yourself to have one conversation in real life this week. And I don't just mean with your spouse or with your kids. I'll say a conversation has to be three sentences long. So it can't just be nice weather we're having with your neighbor and that's it. Connect with people in real life. Number three is compliment one person a day. Be the kind of person who says nice things to others. It'll make you feel better about yourself too, I promise. Coming up next, an interview with Javier David. Join us after the break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is Javier David. Javier is Managing Editor for Business and Markets at Axios. He oversees the Markets, Macro, and Closer newsletters and is an unrepentant Brooklynite, which is how we met when I was one too. Hi, Javier. So great to have you on.
Hey, good morning.
So I know very little about finance or financial markets, but you're now actually the third financial journalist I've had on, which just means I'm friends with a lot of financial journalists. The other two were John Carney and Mitch Rochelle from Breitbart and Fox Business. But it's interesting, finance, and I love to learn. So where do you see the economy going, you know, in a sort of plain terms for people who don't know a lot about what's going on?
Yeah, John Carney, incidentally, is one of my former colleagues. We worked together at CNBC, great guy, super smart, huge amount of respect for them. Hi, John, if you're listening. But yeah,
I'm sure he's listening.
Hopefully he is. I see him all the time on Twitter, but not in person. But all that said, yeah, the economy in 2024, kind of a puzzle, you know, against all odds. And I know this is a sort of controversial thing to say, it shouldn't be. But, you know, the economy, the U.S. economy is really in a lot of respects outperformed every other major economy. And we're in an election year. And, you know, it's sort of the economy has become something of a Rorschach test, where if you are, you know, whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, mm-hmm. it all kind of is skewed based on kind of or viewed through a partisan lens. And that's unfortunate because, you know, you have a jobs market that is really, really strong after a very long period where workers' wages were stagnant. People are earning more. They're earning more or getting more from their employers. That's a good thing. You know, unemployment below 4%. That has been, there's a lot of noise surrounding the state of the jobs market because we've had a tremendous amount of layoffs announcements since the start of the year. And a lot of that has been concentrated in sectors that kind of overhired during the pandemic. And that would be technology and also in the field that we're in, which is media. And if you remember, I think 2021, 2022, it seemed like everybody was getting a new job somewhere.
Right.
It was kind of the YOLO economy and everyone was like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, personal news on Twitter like that. You know, it was a really heady time to be a journalist. And, you know, after, you know, you come into this profession and you don't really believe that you're going to make a lot of money and people started getting good money. But now we're kind of overcorrecting for that. What was in fact sort of an overhiring. But all things considered, the inflation, I think that's what everyone is kind of like the, on the front board. That's what everyone's talking about. And that's why views about the economy are so skewed, because we are, in fact, paying much more for everything and more than we've paid in a very long time. And the data suggests that we are, in fact, inflation is slowing. Now, slowing is a different animal altogether than falling prices. And you know, you have a lower rate of inflation, but prices are still rising. So we kind of call it disinflation, which means that, yeah, inflation is still there. It's still present. It's still at risk. And it's one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve won't kind of commit to cutting rates anytime this year, because there is a real risk that it could pick up again. And those of us old enough to remember guys like, you know, Volcker and Greenspan, these guys were Federal Reserve chairmen who were committed inflation fighters, and they warned about this stuff all the time, that if you allowed inflation to get out of control, it absolutely would, and it would kind of devour everything. So we're coming out of this era or this particular juncture where prices were really, really high. But now they're starting to normalize. So again, normalizing is different than falling. Which isn't a good thing either, because you don't want deflation, which is almost as bad as inflation. But what you want is stable prices. And the Fed has managed to kind of stick the landing. It hiked rates. It's brought inflation sort of under control nominally. And the growth is still there. And more importantly, anyone that needs a job can find a job. And that the data shows that it's a lot tougher than it was a year ago. But certainly people can feel confident in the fact that, like, this isn't place, you know, the economy is in a place where people can find jobs, you can earn money, and it's, you know, it's not a disaster. The economy is certainly not falling off a cliff.
Where would we first see that inflation go down? Because I have not seen, I'm constantly amazed at prices. Like, I've been blessed. I haven't, you know, really haven't had a financial downturn in the last few years that a lot of people did during the pandemic. And I am like horrified at a lot of the prices. And I just think that it makes me afraid for the future because I just don't see them going down. But you're saying that they may. So where would we feel that or see that first?
So we're seeing it. We're starting to see. I think people get the most triggered by grocery prices. And grocery prices come up.
I am triggered.
and they're still very high. So the data says that they're still rising, but at a much more normal rate. Where people are actually starting to see the sticker shock, honestly, is when they go out to eat. Remember, at one point last year, over the last year or so, it was cheaper to eat out than it was to stay at home and eat because grocery prices were so absurd. Now we're at this particular juncture where the grocery prices are starting to level off. But again, leveling off isn't a different animal than falling. Still high, but like moderating. A lot of the fast food joints have hiked prices, and they're starting to see some pushback from that because people are not eating there as much. And as a matter of fact, we had a couple of fast food operators report earnings just this week. And some of them, you know, were weaker than expected because it's starting to, the data suggests, or the numbers suggest, that people are not necessarily inclined to just keep paying or coming out of pocket. Like there, right. there is.
My brother was telling me yesterday that McDonald's is like in collapse, and yeah. that's concerning.
Well, McDonald's, interestingly, McDonald's is an interesting story because they mm-hmm. really thrived during the pandemic, and you know their whole sort of shtick is the dollar menu, the cheap eats. They've got great value for their you know for what they offer. And if you're an app user, like it's even better because you kind of accumulate loyalty points, you mm-hmm. get special deals and whatever. So I'm a big fan of McDonald's and I love their app and I absolutely love their coffee. But in terms of prices, everyone is starting to realize that this isn't just a one-way bet. You can't just sort of pass on costs. And the real reason that we have to sort of be fair, the real reason why we're seeing such sort of price inflation is because it costs a lot of these companies a lot more to do business. And so their inputs mm-hmm. like flour, eggs, all of the things that are used to make a meal, a lot of the prices have skyrocketed. So at some point, there's a willingness for the company to eat some of those costs. But at some point, it's mm-hmm. like, it's costing me a lot to put all of this together and I'm going to start passing it on to the consumer.
Right. Will millennials ever be able to buy a house, or are they just going to be eating avocado toast in their rentals for the rest of their lives?
Yes. There's a strain of thought that says, you know, you shouldn't deprive. And I've seen this a lot more recently, and I'm of two minds. Like, don't deprive yourself of things that make you feel good.
That's been my philosophy. $10. For sure. My husband doesn't love that, but yeah, that's how I live.
well, here's the thing. Like, I think we all sort of grew up with this idea that, you know, especially for those of us of a certain generation, like mm-hmm. you had to save. Every day wasn't, you know, you can treat yourself and like maybe that's every week or once a week or once every 2 weeks or whatever. But there was a limit. And that you kind of had to impose some discipline. You had to live within a budget. Nowadays, I think primarily because of the proliferation of social media and things like that, there's a lot of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, peer pressure. People mm-hmm. feel obligated. FOMO, or, you know, the they call it lifestyle creep. People
right. And hey, the U.S. money. Government does it, so yeah. whatever.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But
they buy all the Starbucks treats.
Yeah, and so the idea of people are making more money, and the data suggests they are. Wages are going up. So that entails people looking and saying, hey, I'm making a little bit more money. Why don't I, you know, I couldn't afford that, you know, $50 caviar lunch before, but now I can. I can afford to go to Vail for mm-hmm. vacation. I can afford to do all of these other things. And that's when it starts to catch up with you. So there's got to be, you know, a balance. Like if you buying a house is a real responsibility. It's a very expensive proposition. And I think people don't really fully prepare themselves for just how much home ownership involves a lot of money, a lot of responsibility, a lot of time. It involves like putting down a down payment. And if you got to put down a down payment and you don't have a rich relative or rich parents or whatever, you're going to have to figure out how to come up with that money by yourself. Mm-hmm. Mortgage rates being what they are, they've come off 7-8% levels, which we saw just several months ago. But it's still not cheap. And housing is still very, very scarce. Affordable housing is still very, very scarce. So you have to look at all of these things and say, I can have my Starbucks or I can have my avocado toast. But I actually do at some point want to own a house. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be cheap. So I've got to make the sorts of decisions now. You know, when you spend all this money regularly, it starts to add up.
Right. Not necessarily on avocado toast. If you're, spending the money you should be using on a down payment.
Starbucks. You know, it's new iPhone. Yeah. It's the new Vision Pro thing. Like all right. of these. And if you've got a lot of money on credit cards and you're carrying balances, mm-hmm. you're paying interest on it. You're paying a substantial amount of interest. You're paying at least 20% interest. There's more or less the average APR, and that's at a record high. So all of these things add up. And so they seem in the moment, it's like, okay, it's just $5, $20, whatever.
Right,
not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if you continually do it and you're working toward a financial goal that involves ownership of mm-hmm. a home or car or whatever it might be, these are things that you just have to really weigh in consideration to like where you are now and what you've got available and where you actually want to go.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to send this video to the U.S. government and say, like, hey, Javier says that maybe you shouldn't outspend what you're earning. Just,
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics is government spending. But we're not going to get on that one. Leave that one alone for now.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on The Carol Markowitz Show.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay. So you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So switching away from the financial world, a question that I ask all of my guests is, what would you say is our largest societal or cultural problem? And do you think it's solvable?
Wow. We've got a lot of societal problems. I think people blame social media for a lot of things. And I think we do have, you know, a number of challenges. And our biggest is we're really disconnected. And I think that people attribute it to, what's the best way to phrase this? People think it's individualism, but I don't believe it's individualism at all. People wanting to do what they want to do and they're just looking out for themselves. And I don't think that that's really the problem. I just think that people are are thoughtless. That's the best way to put it. Like they're doing things or they're behaving in a way that suggests they're not really considering not only themselves, but kind of like the domino effect of what they do like in the future and how that impacts, you know, future decisions, future availability, future, you know, the resources.
Yeah.
And in a lot of way, you know, what we see on social media playing out on Twitter or Instagram on any given day is really a function of the fact that we are very disconnected from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think people are trying their best to fill a void, and they're just getting it all wrong. And a lot of it is, you know, expressed in, you know, consumerism and the craziness that we see on Twitter and social media. And it's all a symptom of just something that's really, really deeply ingrained, and that people really are struggling to try and reconcile themselves with or compensate for.
And do you think it's solvable? Is this something that we can fix?
You know, I want to call myself an optimist, but you know, I see things just jumping the rails every day. Like I'm more of a realist than I am optimistic, and it's one of those things. As cliche as it might sound, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, and I think that people, we have to hit rock bottom, and apparently, I don't think we're there yet. And everything, I think we are sort of at rock bottom. Things get a little worse. And so all of that said, like, I feel like we need to stop placing so much in order for things to get better. We need to stop placing so much faith or emphasis in politics or the political system. Mm. People are looking for some sort of, like, you know, Superman or Superwoman or people that were to redeem themselves or redeem how they feel about their circumstances. And that's the wrong way to look at it. Like, and when we're electing government officials, we're not electing our best, and we're certainly we're not electing our best, and we're kind of like imbuing them with this power or some mm-hmm. sort of thing. We kind of want them to govern a certain way or govern over us. And like, we, you know, we used to govern ourselves. These people work for us. When you elect them, they're supposed to be making decisions on our behalf, and they're supposed to be like accountable to us. And in a lot of ways, it's not working out that way. And I think that that's part of an expression of the whole disconnect and the fact that people are yearning for something, but are like putting it in all of, putting the emphasis on all the wrong things and all the wrong people.
I normally end with this question, but this seems like a natural segue here, is what's your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives?
Get off the computer every once in a while. Just mm-hmm. close the phone, close the laptop, go out, go to a movie. I go to the movies every week.
Really?
You're a Brooklynite, and you know where the Nighthawk is. The Nighthawk.
Yeah, of course.
Week. Uh-huh. Every week they have great retro movies. Like, I'm going to see Shaft next week. Mm. I saw Mommy Dearest there a few months ago. I really enjoy the movies, and I really enjoy going to the movies. It's strange to sound by myself. I just kind of like sitting in the movie theater, and it's dark, and you got your popcorn and your food. If you go to a place like the Nighthawk, they serve cocktails, they serve a full menu. It's really cool. And it's like, and I'm in walking distance. So often, most of the time, I end up walking there, riding my bike, getting fresh air and sort of unplugging from the matrix that we've all convinced mm-hmm. ourselves that we need to participate and partake in every day and give hot takes and on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever. It's like, give it all a rest. Like, you know, give your mind a break.
What would you be doing if you were not a financial journalist? What was the plan B for Javier?
Believe it or not, I really wanted to be a lawyer.
Wow! I'm glad. Never get that.
So the Cliff Notes version of my life is: I graduated from high school, went straight to the military. Hmm. I was a paralegal in the Army. I got exposed to law that way, and I was like, "Wow, this is great! I want to do this." And I graduated. So once I got out of the military, I went right to college. I blasted my way through college, double majored in economics and politics, and I minored in English lit. And my whole idea was I was going to, you know, leverage that to go to law school. But then I was like, wow, it's a 3-year commitment and it's so expensive. And so I got a master's degree instead. I kind of stumbled into financial journalism, but I was actually, you know, once upon a time gearing myself or preparing myself for a career in law.
Wow. I really would not have guessed that. I feel like you might have missed your calling with voiceover work. You have this great voice and it's so soothing. I could like listen to you, you know, tell me about financial markets. And so
it's not Shakespeare, but it keeps the bills.
I believe in you. I think you could totally do Shakespeare.
I used to love Shakespeare. I was a big Shakespeare fan.
I could see that. Yeah. And I could see you, you know, on a stage, like, it's just something to consider, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's never too late, as they say.
Right. Do you feel like you've made it?
No, I feel like making it is a misnomer. It's almost like misleading in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, you never stop learning and you should never stop growing. And I think that once you have, like, that's a real danger.
Yeah.
I am firmly of the belief that, like, you know, I don't know what make it looks like. And I think that a lot of ways, like, a lot of us look to people with a lot of money and a lot of power and famous. And it's like, wow, like, I want that. And you don't necessarily, those folks have a lot of problems. I wouldn't want to be Elon Musk for all the money and the billions that he has. I wouldn't want that. I probably.
Or Taylor Swift. I always think like such a tough life.
It really is. And I feel firmly that money, a lot of money, just turns people into animals, and the proximity to it, people just feel like they have to have it, or they have to ingratiate themselves with people that have it so that they can get some of it. It, you know, corrodes your morality. It can corrode your sense of self. And it's not a good thing. And I would, you know, just, I've always said to myself, I just want to live comfortably, and I do live comfortably, and I'm like, I'm grateful and I'm thankful for like the life that I have and the decisions that I made and the fact that, you know, my bills are paid. I can come see my mom in Miami.
Most importantly,
in Tampa. I can go hang out in West Palm Beach sometimes even.
Yes.
I have to
correct you though. We saw each other on Palm Beach. Yes, the people on Palm Beach do not like when you call Palm Beach West Palm Beach.
As I said, my knowledge of Florida gets a little fuzzy over around Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
I went to high school in Miami, so I'm like very South Florida oriented, but like everything past Fort Lauderdale starts to get a little blurry.
Yeah. Well, I love that advice, you know, get off the internet. And I talk about that on the show a lot. Touch grass, live your life. Love it. Thank you so much for coming on, Javier. I've loved talking to you, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.